We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're awake, right?
Who?
Us. You're asking if we're awake? Me and you.
Yeah, I was just... You know, sometimes you're in the middle of a dream.
Do you say everything that comes to your head?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, think about it, kid. We bang Yui's wherever we want. No blinker. We cut you off on the pike, and then we slow it right the f*** down. And the second that light turns green, I'm honking.
Spoken like a true asshole.
We use our grandmother's furniture to save our parking spots. We drop our R's and put them back in words that don't even have them. Manhattan clam chowder? What the f*** is that? We're massholes.
And now.
Hi, yeah, all right.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 7th of November.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bean.
So I'm holding up my hands right now. I want you to see that I'm enjoying a delicious Gala apple, and there's no pesky apple juice on my hands. They're clean. They're neat. You know why? Cutting it with a knife.
I'd like to suggest you're not enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it very much.
Mm.
It's a delicious apple.
Right.
Not a red delicious, because those are trash.
Mm. I did learn that. I did give in on that.
Right.
Yeah.
They're very much better.
It's a delicious apple, and my hands are completely clean, even though I'm having a very juicy fruit.
Okay, one other time, just to ask. Washing or wiping off your hands is a 10-second thing that takes no energy?
So, that I don't have to do.
Right, but so how much of a savings is that, really?
Saving, first of all. And second of all, I don't have to do it because I'm eating it with a fork.
Right.
So there's no juice at all on my hands.
How juicy is an apple is my question.
Juicy. If you're doing it right, if you're doing the research, there you get the juice. I mean, they practically, I almost said Old Yeller, but that was the dog. What's the name of the geyser at Yellowstone? The one that
Old Faithful?
Old Faithful, yes. It's Old Faithful. It's just, it spews juice. So I'm saying knife and fork is the way to go. Yeah.
But we're saying if you cut up an apple, now it's in small pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's juicy, you can pick that up with your finger and you get really nothing on your hands. And you're good.
Yeah. Your definition of nothing is different than mine. My definition of nothing is nothing. Yours is a little bit's okay on your hands. I don't like that.
I mean, occasionally what I'll do is wash my hands.
Yeah.
Neat and clean.
Because I feel like that's something that should do.
That's what I'm about.
He should be wearing, like, you know when they, like, Silkwood showers?
Yeah, like a hazmat suit?
Yeah, total hazmat suit when he eats. Just,
space
just for
suit.
Protection.
Oh, that's a good idea. I need to look into that.
He's dressed like an astronaut.
Yes.
Trying to eat an apple.
Or maybe I should only take all of my food through a tube. Maybe that's how I should do it. There is a controversy. Kevin, you will have already heard about this. I remember that you were a judge for the Bum Bum competition a couple of years down in Brazil. But
there was
some serious controversy on Miss Bum Bum this year. I don't know if you guys have followed it. Miss Bum Bum is it's a competition that has been going on annually in Brazil since 2011. So it's got quite a history. And it's a televised... It's a televised show, you guys, to crown.
It goes back before even our kids under four can remember.
Well, I'm just saying, considering what it is, the fact that it's been on television for the last 7 years is amazing to me because it's a television show where they crown the best buttocks in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ass contest is what it is. And it's on TV.
Right.
The televised competition has, I mean, we're in America, Miss America, Miss USA, they don't even wear swimsuits anymore, okay?
This is Brazil,
though. Well, yeah, we don't have those
butts. I'm saying this.
We don't have those butts.
I'd be in a bathing suit right now if I had a Brazilian butt.
That's true, yes. It's a televised competition that has 27 contestants who represent the country's different states. 15 women make it to the finals. The winner receives about $13,300. That's 50,000 Brazilian reals, I guess they're called. She also gets endorsement deals. She instantly becomes a celebrity in Brazil. So it's a big, big deal for the ladies there. Well, the reason it's in the news right now is because there's a scandal brewing.
Oh, no.
I could have brought in the audio, but it's really a bunch of ladies just screaming at each other in Spanish.
Sweet.
So most of our listeners get enough of that in their real life. So here's the article from the New York Post. This year's Miss Bum Bum competition ended in shambles. After contestants resorted to violence on stage following cheating allegations.
Wow.
The fight was sparked by one contestant accusing the other of having a surgically enhanced derriere.
Oh, see, no. You can't do that.
Mm-mm. You can't. That's cheating.
That is cheating.
This is like being on drugs in the Olympics, right?
Right.
So similar.
You show up with what God gave you.
Right. Right.
The eye-popping scene unfolded on Monday shortly after Ellen Santana was crowned the winner of Miss Bum Bum 2018. The 31-year-old model and dancer was representing the northern Brazilian state of Rondônia in the competition. But moments after she was declared the winner, she was physically stripped of the winner's sash by a fellow contestant, Aline Uva from Rio Grande do Sul in the south of Brazil. Uva, a 27-year-old massage therapist, was heard shouting that the competition was a farce and claiming that the winner's butt was surgically enhanced. Oh, man. So the winner is on stage. You can see the video. She's on stage. She's going up and down, receiving applause, wearing her sash. And this other contestant just straight up Kanye's her and screams that the competition is a farce. She says, "I fulfilled all the rules of the game. My butt is real. Her butt is plastic."
Boom!
Oh, Miss, how do they recover?
Miss Bum Bum is a farce. Today I could prove all this.
Oh.
Now, I need a 60 Minutes investigation into finding out what really the truth is here. Is it possible that she has some sort of insider information that there was surgery on the winner?
Sure.
And if so, why did she wait until after the competition, after the other had been crowned, before bringing it up? Isn't that the type of thing you go early and say, hey, on the down low, that woman
so,
had
surgery,
yeah. Or was she just so mortified that she lost to this woman who she felt had an inferior butt that she just was screaming, making stuff up off the top of her head?
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
I love
it's
the
a
fact-
false butt is what it is. It's a butt of lies.
It is a butt of lies, Kevin. Organizers of the annual competition were forced to intervene to calm the frantic scene and ensure the winner's sash was handed back to Miss Santana. I love the brawl.
That's fantastic.
Yes. You should see the video. It's amazing.
I love
the idea that this young woman has fulfilled her lifelong dream as a model and dancer to be named Miss Bum Bum. I mean, everything's roses from here on out.
That does seem like a strange dream.
But then seconds
later.
Come
on, Miss Bum Bum.
But then seconds later, somebody screaming into your face, Miss Bum Bum is a farce. So I don't know what the fallout from this is going to be. I don't know if there's going to be investigation. I mean, it sounds to me like there's another TV special that needs to be had where they have doctors weigh in on whether her butt has been surgically enhanced or not. Or she takes a lie detector. I mean, something. We can't just let this stand the way it is.
Lie detector. I like it.
I would say like a live X-ray. Because if there's actual insertion, excuse me, like plastic in there, that would show up in an X-ray, right?
Is that,
I would think
forgive
so.
My ignorance, that's how they do surgical butt operations
there's,
is
I think
implants?
There's different ones. There's implants, then you can have lifts where like fat is injected in. So
could you see that as well?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, I was just wondering. I didn't know if it was a Titan, you know, it was a Titan operation or what. So again, like I said, this is not the last you're going to hear about Miss Bum Bum 2018.
Mm-mm.
But I am deeply concerned, honestly, about the legitimacy of the contest.
Right?
Because
sure.
If you can't trust Miss Bum Bum,
correct?
Who can you trust?
Said it for years.
What else can you? What else can you count on?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, it's a great start. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It's going to be crazy.
That it is. Phil Kogan is going to join us in studio.
Oh, I love Phil.
He, of course, is the host of Amazing Race, and he's got a new show on Nat Geo called Explorer. Going to talk to him.
Do you watch any of Explorer yesterday?
I did not yesterday, no.
This is what Phil's about, and this is why I'm excited that he's coming in. There's a place called the Mouth of Hell.
Yes.
That's where Phil decided he needed to go.
All right.
That's where he climbs into an active volcano. That's our boy Phil.
That was my nickname in college.
I bet it was. So I'm excited to have him back.
Brand new edition of Jank Tank.
Uh-oh.
On the show today. Things that you steal to save money. Dave told us yesterday that his girlfriend brings back all, and I guess it's not stealing if it's a hotel and it's okay to take, all of the lotion products and shampoo and all that kind of stuff. She stays at nice places for work, and then she brings all that stuff home, and then Dave
cleans them out.
Dave didn't have to pay for it.
Okay.
Is that stealing?
I don't think it's stealing, but when will that start reflecting in Dave's appearance that he's using nice products?
It's a good question. We'll have to track that down. Would you like to take that back?
Oh, Bean, I heard you're all over this.
I got to tell you, it's an all-alley edition is what I hear.
I got to tell you, this is a knockdown, drag-out fight between the two of you. And I always try to edit so that there's a little bit of everybody to spread it around. Not possible.
No?
Not possible.
Weird.
I can only edit from the stuff I'm given, and all of that was you and Bean. And you could both go to hell.
Okay.
Say that right now. The Ottawa Senators, I don't know if you saw this, they were in an Uber, and they were making fun of their coach. And then the video was released, and that seems bad.
It's bogus is what it is.
Yeah, it's BS.
You ought to have privacy in the back of your, even if you're being videoed, for specific, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Bean has feelings.
I mean, it's like confession at church when you get in an Uber, right? Well, it never goes any further than that.
It's not quite like that.
I think it is.
But it's extremely unfair that these guys couldn't trash talk their boss in private without the video being released.
I was thinking yesterday while going through this that this is not an anomaly. Like, everyone does this.
Oh,
they just don't
sure.
get caught on video.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then have it released. And also, Omar has jury duty. So that's coming
luck
up.
Out.
Bean's been trying to get it his whole life and fails. We'll take a break. We will come back with what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
By the way, quick correction. The Kevin and Bean listeners are always quick fast
erection?
To let us...
What?
Quick correction.
Oh, I thought you said erection.
No, that was yesterday. Yesterday was erection day. quick correction, because our listeners are always quick to pounce when we make a mistake. Obviously, I know that they speak Portuguese in Brazil. I said there are a bunch of ladies yelling in Spanish. Of course, they speak Portuguese down there. I knew that, but I just got sloppy. So, thanks for pointing it out. I'll go see my therapist today. It'll be okay. Right. Everything will be fine. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
How about a little what's happening on this Wednesday?
It's all right. I mean, that you pretty much erased a whole culture.
Right.
In one fell swoop.
That was certainly my intention.
Totally. It's what you do. Why do you hate Brazilians?
I really don't. I just made a mistake.
It has.
What about the butt?
Great question. Did you watch the video, Kevin? We posted it on the Kevin Bean Facebook page and the Twitter, the Miss Bum Bum fight.
I did not, but I will right after this. What's happening?
You're gonna can't start wait. Chanting Jerry, Jerry as soon as you see it.
And it would get me back watching those pageants. If they just guarantee me that, I'm in.
Oh dear, you guys, this is a lot of information, and I'm not quite sure what to do with it. It's funny, but also John Stamos. Little bit of TMI that he shared with Busy Phillips on her show Busy Tonight that's on E. He was talking about how he and his wife, Caitlin McHugh, are trying to have a second child. So they hit up a fertility clinic. And he went into this little room and they said, go in there. And they said, if you need any stimulation or whatever, there's videos, there's a TV, just turn the thing on. I turned the TV on. And it's on Fuller House. He said, my hand to God. He joked, if I'm going to please myself, it's going to be to my old self, not the new one.
Wow. That is not a good coincidence.
That's awful.
Just put up a picture of Bob Saget.
Absolutely.
That's all he needs.
Can you imagine, though? You flip on the TV and there you are and... people you've known since they were children. Ugh.
I love this story, but isn't Fuller House on Netflix?
Oh, don't be saying it's not real.
No, I'm just asking. What are the chances they have Netflix and it's on playing that particular show in the room?
Maybe it was just Fuller House. Did you say it was Fuller House?
He said different. Fuller House.
Okay.
He said Fuller House.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You're ruining a great story.
Yeah, that's not the point of
we
the
want
story.
To yeah. Okay, either. Gotcha. Yeah.
And who's to say it's not like the hippest fertility clinic that they have like Netflix on 50 screens at all times? I mean, this is a great fertility clinic.
It sounds like it,
right?
A lot of people get really bummed this time of year because it seems like we go Halloween straight into Christmas. We skip Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
People don't like that.
November 1st is the first of Christmas. That's how it works. That's
how a lot of people look at it.
Yeah.
Not the good people behind Pringles.
Pringles, okay.
No, no. They have just announced their holiday spirit with three new Thanksgiving-inspired potato chip flavors. Turkey, stuffing, and pumpkin pie.
Now, let me just clarify.
Uh-huh.
Is turkey, pumpkin,
uh-huh.
and what was the other one?
Stuffing.
Stuffing?
Yeah.
Are all of those three things gone, so we have to get them in a chip?
No, they still exist.
They all still exist.
Yeah, okay. But
what about the chip that you want just as a chip?
A chip still exists as well, okay. Separately, but what if you wanted the three great tastes that taste great together?
You can yummy.
Do this. Yeah. The company said that the flavors were the most popular out of the eight that they tested with a limited audience last year. I'd like to know the other five.
Me too.
Because you settled on pumpkin pie. That's disgusting.
No. That's a hard no.
Yeah. The new Thanksgiving flavors are available now for a limited time, and they're available to purchase online in a 3-pack. Priced at $14.99 if you want that, you guys. Listen, I'm just trying to help you out. Trying to give That's some nice props to Thanksgiving. Because I feel like it gets overlooked. Mostly by me. I took all my Halloween and fall stuff down yesterday.
Yeah.
It's gone. Christmas.
So this you feel bad about.
Christmas is coming to Shay McKay. Huh?
No.
I'll never do that again. I apologize. So George Clooney's time riding motorcycles has come to an end. He's auctioning off one of his Harley-Davidson bikes during the Home for Our Troops Veterans Day Celebrity Auction. That was put together by CNN's Jake Tapper. The money goes towards building custom homes for severely injured post-9/11 veterans, which is a great, great deal.
That's
so
nice.
He's auctioning it off, and the item's eBay page claims that Clooney is, quote, off two wheels for good. This is after he got in a pretty scary accident this summer in Italy on his motorcycle. Might have even been a scooter. If it was a scooter, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's funny.
Come on, dude. I think Bean knows from scooter accidents, right?
Right? Mm-hmm. No fun. Not as much fun as it looks.
No.
Bean turned in front of a truck.
Went flying off the scooter.
Look.
It was that funny.
Look. It hurt.
I'm sure it did. At the time, it hurt. But now you can laugh.
It still hurts.
What? Come on, man.
Shameful memory.
Was it a normal size scooter, or did they find like a bigger one for you?
I don't remember.
Oh, they're normal. They're all normal. They don't have bigger ones for him.
They don't.
No.
You must have looked like how Goofy looks when he drives a car.
That's the picture in my head. That's why it makes me laugh.
Aw, Bean.
He's 6'6" on a scooter.
Yeah. Mm. Well, apparently on part of a truck.
So what happened to George Clooney?
Oh, all right. So they're putting it up for auction. It should go around $28,000. It starts at $28,000, I'm sorry. And he also said he would sign it for the winner. I'm sure you want that on your motorcycle. All right, some birthdays for you. David Guetta.
Guetta.
He's a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is he?
You know, most DJs are producers now.
Okay. Adam Devine. He's an actor. He's a comedian. He's amazing. And singer Lorde. We love her.
Love her so much.
And that's what's happening.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Do you think all athletes talk crap about their coaches?
Yeah.
Right?
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, because you always disagree with the boss. That's part of being that's the job of being an employee, is to disagree with the boss.
Seven.
Is to think that you could do things better than he could.
Sure. Seven players from the Ottawa Senators, which is an NHL team in Canada.
For now.
We're talking, we're talking smack about their boss in an Uber, and the Uber had a dash cam.
Mm-hmm.
And it was recording everything that went on in the car, and it got released.
Now, many Ubers have a dash cam for their own protection.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that somebody can't claim that they did something that they didn't. Also to prove if somebody vomits in the back seat. I mean, there is a legitimate reason to have that camera in the car.
Right.
Sure.
Recording conversations that are meant to be private and releasing them to the public is not one of those reasons.
Doesn't seem cool.
No.
And I hope Uber fired this guy, and I hope he's never allowed to drive for one of these services again.
Take it easy.
I hope his whole family has their home taken away.
Burned to the ground in front of them.
Burned to the ground.
Made to watch.
The food just smacked right out of their hands that they're eating.
Take his kids away from him for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Don't you think this is a real customer violation?
Yeah,
I would say so.
Uber Canada's GM already said it's a clear violation of their terms of service. There's no way the guy's still working there.
There's no way. Okay. No. So what's the controversy for the Senators players then?
Oh, well, they were bad mouthing the coach, and everybody now knows what they were talking about because here's part of the video.
You can tell we're really pleased with PK. Breaking is the fact that we don't even slow them up.
No, never.
They come in like blazing speed too. Andy's like, oh,
What team did you guys play for?
Ottawa.
Okay, so now they're talking about the PK. For those of you that don't follow hockey, the penalty kill is when you're outnumbered. One of your guys goes to the box, so it's 5-on-4. Mm-hmm. The other one is the power play where you're 5-on-4 and you should score. And they're making fun of both of their performances. Yeah. And my question is, isn't that the players?
Yeah.
As much as it is the coach?
Because their penalty killing ranks 30th in the league. So I think that's a lot on you guys.
Right. I don't know that that's all the coach.
Oh, okay. Marty Ramon.
No, I think they won one. They won
only
one.
Coach in NHL history to have the worst power play and worst PK within a
back-to-back.
I mean, that is a pretty good stat.
Also,
back-to-back PK and power plays, the worst in the league.
Also, those players have the same back-to-back.
That's right. Have the same record.
So do you think the Uber driver, it's Uber, right?
Yes.
Okay, he's driving down the road and he realizes, oh, these guys play for the Senators. This tape is worth something to someone?
Yes. I mean,
I would guess so, because they weren't
in it for him.
They weren't in Ottawa. They were in Phoenix. So maybe he sold it.
Playing the Coyotes.
Maybe he sold it. I don't know.
Oh, maybe he sold it. Okay.
I don't know.
So I'm trying to figure out what's in it for him to do this, to just embarrass him for no reason.
Do you notice that when he runs the video, like if you actually do pay attention, he doesn't ever teach you anything. He just commentates what's happening. He's like, here's so-and-so skating on the wall with the puck.
He doesn't say what to do with it.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, too.
Just keep going. You know, when we're in there and we're watching the video, he doesn't teach us anything. He just comments. How's that helpful?
We can laugh until our video of Dave and Christine and Beer Mug in the other room comes out, because I'm sure they've got plenty to say about this show.
They've got one. It's a podcast where they talk smack about us. But I can't imagine that there's a sports team in the world that doesn't do this. Make fun of their
coach.
Right. On their private time.
All of us do it. Everyone that has a boss has done this. It
is absolutely
absurd and disgusting that this was released.
But it's a senator, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not fine with it.
I'm fine with it.
No. And I will tell you, though, that if you believe the statements from the coach and from the players and from the organization since, it sounds like they dealt with this thing and it's a hiccup and they're going to be fine and they're going to not make the playoffs again this year. But but at least this isn't going to slow them down,
well,
right?
Well, the problem
is... that's what they're saying. Yes.
There's been so many hiccups with the Ottawa Senators in the last just year.
Yeah.
Between,
they're a mess.
Yeah, between stalking wives and coach. It's a bad situation up there in Ottawa.
You're talking about moving the team, the whole
moving
thing.
Moving the team. Yeah, it's not a good sitch.
So this does this heal it?
I don't think it helps it, Kevin.
It doesn't help it. Okay, just trying to clarify.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Bean, what's your history with jury duty?
My history with jury duty, you mean personally?
Yeah.
You're asking about all the times that I've been called to serve on a jury?
Yes. If you could just encapsulate all of your history with jury duty.
Okay. It was my lifelong dream from the time I turned 18 to be on a jury.
Right. Said no one ever.
For a number of reasons, most of all is because my superpower is that I can tell people are guilty just by looking at them.
Sure.
So I'm the perfect guy, because I don't need to hear any of the evidence.
Right.
I just look at the dude and go, did it.
Sure.
So that's why I feel like I would be in service to my country by being on as many juries
as possible. What different juries were you on? Like, what different kinds of cases?
I'll break it down for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't get in a jury immediately.
Okay.
In fact,
just the overview. Just give us the overview.
Okay, one time.
One time
I received a jury summons, and it was about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited. I think I had my wife drop me off at the courthouse like the day before, just so I could be the first person to the
camped on the sidewalk.
Laid out his outfit the night before.
Right? I did. I was so excited.
Dress shoes and little dress pants.
And I went in and I made the first cut. You know, they start with like 100 people or something like that. And then they call, I don't know, in this case, they called like 40 of us or something like that into a room. And then a guy got up and spoke a little bit about some specifics about the case and stuff. And then they just started pointing at people and asking them to leave before it got to the next step. And I was one of the people that was asked to leave. And of course, I wouldn't. So they had to push me out. They had to bring in security to drag me out because I said, no, I want to be on a jury.
Did you say, does this case have to do with the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
I did not say that, although the anniversary of that is coming up this weekend.
Sure.
But so that was my only occasion to be on the jury. And what's infuriating for me is I feel like I'm checking all the boxes to be on a jury because I'm a taxpayer, because I vote, because I have a driver's license, because I own a home. I feel like I should be on every government list.
I should
be getting jury summons all the time.
Bean would like to do it all full time.
Right.
I would. I've never met anyone like that before.
Now, so, Omar would be...
What do you got there, Omar?
This reads, official business of the court.
Oh.
I got summoned by the jury.
How about that?
Yeah.
First time?
Oh, my entire life I've been avoiding it since I was 18.
What do you
do? Oh, yeah.
What do you do when it comes to the house? What do you do?
So usually I just throw it away. So for about maybe 8 years, 10 years, I would get a letter, throw it away. Mm-hmm. I was very busy. Don't have time for it.
Don't have time to be a goddamn American?
He's dealing drugs, Bean. What do you think? He's busy.
I got priorities, man.
He's moving
weight. Kevin, isn't that your strategy, too, is just pretend you didn't get it, throw it in the trash? How can they prove you did?
We're not talking about me here.
And one time, this was maybe 10 years ago, the court actually sent a registered letter. And I wasn't home, so the post office left this little slip. It's like, oh, you got a package at the post office.
Is registered the one that you have to sign to get?
Yes.
That's proof that you received.
Yeah. So then I go to the post office with a little slip of paper, and I give the little guy the slip of paper, and he leaves it just under the window.
Right.
It's a window. And he goes and he fetches the package, and I see that it's one of these letters, and I get the little slip of paper, turn around, and walk out. Yeah.
Omar.
While the guy was getting your
while
jury
he was getting
summons?
I was like, and he's like, sir. I'm like, no, thank you.
Look, post office is my other obsession, and they can't force a package on you. If you don't want it, you don't have to take it. So you were legitimate to do that.
So now, you know, I'm a little older. I was like, I don't know. Should I do it now? I'm kind of torn, but I'm still leaning towards F no. Because I'm very busy, and I think that it's one of these deals where if I don't really want to do it, how good of a job am I going to do judging somebody, you know, and potentially having a very dramatic effect on this person's life? Mm-hmm. And who am I? You guys know me. I'm the poop guy. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, that's true.
Should I really be on a jury?
Juror poop guy, please stand
down. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you lead with that if you are actually going and you're like, picked.
Your Honor,
I'm the poop guy.
I'm the poop guy. Now, please dismiss me.
Have you ever gone in? You have or you haven't?
I have never gone in.
Never gone in?
No.
Okay.
Are you allowed to say kind of like, you're out of order?
Can you say that?
You're not an attorney. No, you can't do that. Listen, Omar, let me
overruled.
You're not allowed to do that either. Let me help you through this. Do you believe in democracy or not?
I do, but as we all know, democracy is very flawed, and there's problems in every part of government. So I think this is one of these things where, in my opinion, they should hire professional jurors that actually know the law and have they want to be there. Like you, Bean, you would be a perfect juror because you love the law and you're very smart. And I just don't see myself being at that level of competency.
Oh, so your problem is you're not good enough.
I don't think so. Yeah, exactly.
Come on, Omar.
The system could do better, guys.
The system is set up to have your case be heard by a jury of your peers. And you and I are peers of the people who are being charged with crimes.
Omar
they
is.
They don't want judges for these. They want judges to rule, to rule in some aspects of the case to make sure that it's adjudicated legally. But they want citizens to be the judges. That's the way the system is set up. Now, it sounds like you're not going on jury duty just because you protest that as being our system of
government. He's super busy. You missed that part.
Yeah, exactly. You're super busy. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But don't you sometimes think, Omar, as a lot of people do, that juries are only people who are too stupid to figure out a way to get out of it? Because a lot of people feel that way.
I don't think that way.
The dredges of society are who ends up on jury duty because all the smart people to the rich people won't go.
I think there's there's two groups. There's too stupid to get out of it, and there's people who don't want to get out of it. Both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that were like, I guess.
Right.
You know, that's kind of like where I'm at right now. You know?
But I think you get to raise the quality of that jury by being somebody.
Whoa!
You do.
Oh, take it easy.
You get to go in there and
we're talking about Omar.
And by the way, I'm going to tell you, most cases are pretty boring. Most cases is going to be a property dispute or something like that. But every once in a while, like in New York right now, they're looking for jurors for the El Chapo trial.
I know, but what if
wouldn't that be amazing?
What if I get on the El Chapo case, and all I'm thinking about is, dude, how can I score some cocaine?
Right,
My entire time there, I'd be like, dude. Where do you get the cocaine?
You'd be trying to make eye contact.
Exactly. I'd be like sending hand signals, cocaine. Hey, where do you go? You know what I mean? And the worst juror I would be.
But wouldn't you feel good about going in there and taking it seriously and rendering what you thought was a fair verdict so that justice could be done? Like you could walk out of that courtroom and go, you know what? At least that guy got a fair hearing, and guilty or not, at least it was legitimate and it was considered.
I'm confused. I thought we were talking about Omar.
We are talking about Omar.
Okay, my bad.
The one thing I also will say, I don't want to get selected for a jury for a trial like El Chapo's trial, because that jury is dead. If he gets found guilty, you'll be murdered for sure. I do not want to be on that jury and put my life on the line.
I mean, that's really just one trial out.
And it's in New York. You don't have to worry about it.
So calm your teeth.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. But I think you should do it, Omar. I honestly think that you would have an appreciation for the system. And I think it's your civic duty to do it. I really do. Or let me pretend to be you.
Yes.
We'll commit jury fraud. I'll go in there and claim I'm DJ Omar Khan, and I'll sit in and make a verdict.
That's as long as, you know, when the judge comes in, you say, here come the judge. Here come the judge. I'm in. I love that.
You're going to do
I'm
it.
I'm in. No.
You're in
I'm
for
gonna
Bean.
I'm going to have Bean for judge for doing all the fraud stuff.
All right, Bean, you in?
Fraud.
I'm in.
Fraud.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
In my defense.
You don't have to already start in your defense.
I'm just saying in my defense, and in Allie's defense as well, we're doing the best we can.
Right.
We're doing live radio. Uh-huh. We're improvising. There's no script here. We're having a conversation. We're trying to yuck it up a little bit.
Right.
And not everything's going to land.
Right. Sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so this is a good time for you both. Mm-hmm. Especially you two, to take it back.
Okay.
Like you gave it a try, maybe you realize it didn't work, and you go, okay, my bad.
Sure.
Okay, but it's like going to a...
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back?
I'm not going to lie. I would like to hear what his example was about to be.
I was just thinking, Kevin, save me from Mr. Bad
example. Oh, shoot.
I was saying it would be like going to a shortstop who botched a throw to first base after the game and saying, hey, if you had a chance to do that over again, I bet you would. There's nothing he can do about it. It's already happened.
No,
it's already live. The game has already been played.
No, but he could talk to his fans and say, you know what? That was on me. I'm sorry.
Sure. Okay.
And that might make them feel better.
True.
All right. Well, let's see what kind of examples you bring out here.
The first example is my man Bean. Mm-hmm. I was doing a story about people are dumb and a guy who left his passport at a murder scene. He left his passport at the crime scene.
Oh.
And his phone.
Oh.
Oh.
So the police noticed that he was sweating profusely and his hands were shaking.
Hmm.
So they said, just a minute, let's go back and take a little check. And they did. And he was wanted for murder in that case.
Uh-huh.
You got any info? And they said, yeah, we have info. It's murder.
Was that the case that they gave him?
Oh, go to hell.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back?
Come on. Come on, low-hanging fruit guy. Come on. Like we all didn't think that.
Okay.
Only one of us said it.
All right. I'll take it back.
All right. Excellent. Next up is Bean. from the same segment.
Oh, Bean.
People are dumb. This particular one, a guy gets smashed and tries to escape on a bicycle. Smashed meaning drunk. Burglar drank 24 bottles of beer and Jägermeister and then tried to escape from police on a bike.
Oh, no.
24 bottles of beer. How many were left on the wall?
Oh, my God.
What,
you're just
serious?
You're destroying this. Would you like to take that back? That was like 30 seconds from the one before.
There's a very popular song called 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall.
Know.
And
you don't need to explain the comedy.
Right,
we get
how
it.
How often do you get a chance to make a reference to that? I believe I'm going to stand by 24 bottles of beer.
I think I am.
You're the worst.
I'm okay with that. Guess who's up next? Bean?
Oh, come on now.
Allie is doing birthdays.
Moving on to some birthdays. Cassandra Peterson.
Elvira, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Phil Jackson, Baz Luhrmann, and Flo Rida. And that's what's happening.
I was going to ask, what's up with Flo Rida?
You're stupid.
File. Would you like to take
that back? See, because what's up with Florida?
We have a feature on the show
right.
called What's Up with Florida.
But she was finished with the full report, and then you jumped in with that.
With what's up with Flo Rida?
too little, too late. Is that what you're suggesting? Would you like to take that back? All right, I'll throw that one back in the pond.
All right. Mm. Wow, 2 for 3 for Bean.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Next up is Allie.
Oh.
Oh, thank God.
Talking about Liam Neeson. What was the story about him and his horse?
He thought a horse recognized him from another movie that he had done with a horse.
Right.
By the way, I do believe that horses would recognize people that they spent time with. Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. But what, Liam is saying that the horse did recognize him, right?
He said absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. It wound up whinnying and started stomping his little hoof.
I think I believe that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a cute story.
Yeah. Right? So we don't want him to rein it in? He doesn't seem unstable?
No.
Thanks, Chip. Would you like to take
that back? Rein it in.
I mean,
seems unstable.
I feel like, would you like to take that back? If Chip wasn't here, none of you would have caught it.
Right.
Which means it's a win.
What?
We'd have been better for it, though. Would
you like to take that back? No.
Okay, this
one. How about you, Chip? Will you take it back?
This one is Allie and Bean.
Oh, two.
You both get to answer. Talking about Janet Jackson.
Who?
I was making fun of her because I didn't realize that she still had any kind of following.
Okay.
At this point.
Dude, she just played the Forum like within the last year and a half or something like that, and that place sold out in an instant. People were going crazy for that
and
tour.
And everybody there liked it.
Wow, you are not part of the Rhythm Nation.
I am
no,
not.
You are
That's
not.
Correct.
This is upsetting.
What have you done for me lately, Kevin?
All right, that's too far. Would you like to take that
back? I mean, first of all, Allie.
Uh-huh.
You're not part of the Rhythm Nation.
Yeah, I'll take it back.
Okay, I was going to say I didn't despise it because at least it worked in the conversation
of
the sentence.
Yeah, that beans didn't work, so beans, I feel like it lessened mine.
Not so much.
I agree. Bean? I should have exercised better control.
Oh, file. Would you like to
take that back? Start the next one. Next up is Allie.
Oh.
Oh.
She was talking about an auction of celebrity stuff, and Bean was talking about some stuff that he would buy from an astronaut named... named Neil Armstrong.
I will tell you that I have not perused the whole list, but you guys have been seeing in the news that Neil Armstrong's sons are putting a lot of his memorabilia, including things that he took to the moon with him, up for sale right now.
Like Alice?
Like Alice.
That's a great reference. To the moon.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Kevin got it.
Put it in the file. Way in the file.
Horrible.
Way in the file. Would you like
to take that back? How do I get in trouble for recognizing the reference? How do I get made fun of for that?
Here's the thing.
Like Alice?
You laughed. Would you like to take that back? You laughed so hard at that because it was so stupid.
Yes.
Things that he brought to the moon. Oh, like Alice? That is so dumb.
It's so stupid. And also, Bean didn't get it because it was poorly done.
How dare
you? It was
you?
A reference would from the 1950s, by the way, which no one listening now even knows what the hell you were talking about.
You should have gotten that of all people.
Should have gotten it. And for that, I'm keeping it.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah, suck it.
Guess who's up next? Allie.
Oh.
We were talking, I think it was yesterday, about the finale of, not the finale, but the last episode of The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
With Rick Grimes. It was good to see all of those old characters come back in the last episode.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Especially Herschel.
It was well done.
Since I hated Herschel.
That was a really moving scene, though.
Yeah, because the actor just died a couple months ago.
It's really touching.
I'm so glad we got a chance to see him again.
Yeah.
And with both legs.
Right?
I'm just talking about the show, you guys.
Brings Herschel Walker to real life. Get his legs back.
It's not.
No?
Nope.
I didn't love it either. Would
you
like to take that back?
You didn't even like it at the time.
Why would I have said that?
That was instant.
I don't know.
It's so stupid.
I don't know why you would have said
Herschel
that.
Herschel Walker? I'll take it back all day. That was awful.
I feel like you should be fined for that one.
Oh, take it easy. You both had equal numbers. Now we bring comedian Brad Williams on the air. Hey, Brad.
Oh.
All right. I don't even think we should go to me. We should go back to Herschel Walker and put another 10 minutes on that.
Just spend some more time on that?
It was awful.
So Brad's in the file.
Brad is in the file. Yeah, he filled in for Allie one day.
Okay.
And he was doing birthdays, and this tragedy happened.
Let's get to some celebrities' birthday. Let's get to some celebrity birthdays.
Oh, don't worry, he's not live. We'll play back.
There's a plural there. Yeah, we'll fix it in post. Malone.
Get out. Would you like to take that back? Fix it in post.
That's a man who's drowning.
Malone.
That's what that is.
And we were like to story on post Malone that day.
I'm sorry?
We were doing a story on Post Malone that day.
And that helps somehow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it, though?
I mean, it's not. It's not a great advertisement for getting people to go watch my Netflix special, The Degenerates, if that's the example of comedy that I'm giving them. So, yes, I'm going to take that one back.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
All right. You made the right decision.
I think that's a record for people who took stuff back today.
Yeah, we did.
Well, we have a lot to be embarrassed about.
The Kevin and Bean Show, world famous K-Rock.
King of Mexico.
Sup?
Sorry, did we wake you?
Nah, I'm good.
How you guys?
Are you high right now?
Are you high?
Nah, I'm chilling.
Why are you acting high? How about not chilling now that we're talking about to you on the air?
Feel good, dude. Okay. Got a nap in yesterday.
Great.
Got some votes in, yeah.
All right, some votes?
Yeah, votes.
Great.
Dave brought up something off the air yesterday that we thought was worth bringing in, and that is that his girlfriend steals like a raccoon.
No, not her.
Stop taking stuff that's not hers.
It's not her at all.
Oh,
she's
I'm sorry.
A klepto. It's me. It's me. I ask her to bring stuff home.
Right. So she steals for you.
Okay, yeah. But let's stop using the word steal in this particular case, because in a hotel, in a nice hotel... Mm-hmm. You're technically allowed to take the stuff, the lotion and
the shampoo.
The stuff is put out there for you to use. I don't think the intention is for you to take full bottles home that you haven't opened.
They're tiny little size bottles.
They're the ones that are already there. So, you know, they just refill them anyway. So, you know, you use one shampoo, they're going to just refill it. And I just take it home with me. So what's wrong with that?
Well, do you buy any of those products then, or does this replace you buying those products?
No. So the reason why I bring this home is because, you know, stuff is expensive. Like shampoo's expensive, soaps, lotions.
Right.
And if we go somewhere where there's cool products that I'm never, ever going to buy, like I'm not buying a Hermes shampoo or lotion. And if they're available, I'm going to bring them home so I could use them. Aveda. Thomas Roth.
So if you go to a nice place, they have these products, and then you can take them home and use better products than you would pay
for. I would pay for, yeah, because I would never pay for them. Like, an Aveda lotion is like $40, and I'm not going to buy that.
Wow.
Yeah. This makes total sense to me.
Right?
Dave is staying at way nicer hotels than I am, because the places that I stay are using the cheapest generic shampoos.
Motel 6 doesn't really go all out,
available. Look, even hotel is putting $40 lotions in their room.
Oh, dude.
The kind that Marriott stays at?
The Marriott's do it. Sheraton's do it. And yeah, you just take a couple here and there and boom, you got a collection and it's good.
That's why Hasselhoff stays there.
And no one else does this. I mean, am I the only one who and it saves me a little cash, dude. Like, well, I haven't bought lotion in a long time.
I have shampoo at home. I don't need to take it from a hotel and take it home.
It's not as good, though, Bean.
Yeah, I have shampoo at home, too, and it's pretty dope.
I definitely take the better lotions.
Right.
And I keep them in my purse. It's now my travel lotion.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I support Dave in this.
And
thank you.
It's they're fine with it, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And there have been times, I will say this, when you're walking and you're leaving and you walk by their little carts right there.
Oh,
and you
pocketful.
Yeah. Oh, I don't take them. I'll say, can I have one of these? And the woman is usually very kind about it. So you take it and... Mm-hmm. I've already left a tip on my pillow, so she's going to go in and be like, hey, glad I gave her extra lotion. See, that's just what you do.
Yeah. Dave, do you... By the way, we're going to... the topic on the table is going to be... How are we phrasing this, Kevin? You don't seem to like the word steal.
Well, things
here.
You steal to save money, but in this particular case, maybe it's not necessarily stealing where they're waiting at the door to make sure you don't have lotion. You know what I mean? But you take stuff because you want to save money.
Well, listen, I've known people who have stayed at a hotel like the Wynn, and they have fantastic pillows, and they know they're going to get charged for it, so they'll just take the pillow.
Like, take the pillow?
Yeah, who's heard of that? Why do you bring the pillows are amazing there.
The beds are amazing, too. It's the most comfortable bed I've ever slept
and
in.
And they give you, like, 40 pillows, so you're just like, oh, I'll just take one, and they're going to charge me for it anyways. That's a little different, but...
What do you mean they're going to charge you for it anyway? They don't charge you if you don't take it.
Because they know the pillow's missing, so they'll just put it on your room
You
bill.
Say that they're going to charge you for it anyway, so you take it.
No.
That's not
no,
the case.
They'll take it then, set it so they don't have to find that pillow. Because people are crazy. I've known people who have taken the clocks because they love it, you know?
Right.
And so they'll just take stuff like that.
They'd rather be charged for it than have to go out and find it somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly.
I guess because they already know they like it.
They love it. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. But, I haven't bought shampoo in so long or lotion. And
we've been wanting to talk to you about your hygiene, Dave.
Why is your hair so nasty?
No. I have shampoo because of all these little travel size bottles, and it's awesome. I posted a picture on our Twitter of a little bit of my collection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have a collection, do you?
I have a collection, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's a lot.
We want to hear from you if there's something that you're taking home to save money. I guess that's what we're looking for.
I have an end table, and I have some curtains and some light fixtures. I got those.
So, and I bet there have to be people, you can remain anonymous, there have to be people who help themselves to things at work, too, I would imagine, right? They're bringing home, I don't know, coffee from the kitchen or toilet paper or
highlighters.
Something, right?
Oh, bringing home toilet paper from work is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
So
that would be so embarrassing.
520-1067.
Let's take one call before the break, and let's make out our friend Stephanie. She's on line one. She's in Encino. Let's see what she has to weigh in on about here.
Hey, Stephanie.
Good morning. Okay, my roommate takes anything and everything he can, whether it's hotels, work, restaurants, everything.
What kind of stuff does he steal from restaurants?
Okay, so like right now in our pantry, we have no less than 3 Tabasco sauces that have the Chipotle label on the front.
Okay.
These are full size?
Like the little ones that they have at the counter at Chipotle.
Yeah, those are little ones though, right?
Yeah, the little ones. Yeah, but I don't think those are yet to be taken home. I don't know.
No, those are probably not.
Well, those are bottles. This isn't like taking the little packets. This is taking actual bottles from a restaurant. That's like stealing silverware.
But Stephanie,
right. Labeled,
I've done that.
Labeled with, we've got silverware. We've got silverware now.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. Silverware. Yeah,
and when was the last time you bought, was it hot sauce? Right? You haven't bought it in a while. It's saving you money. I back your roommate.
Oh, God.
That means you're on Dave's side, Stephanie.
No, not me.
Your boyfriend. Okay, gotcha.
Roommate.
All right, take it easy.
Oh, I haven't heard. Downgraded to roommate.
Boyfriend yesterday. Kevin, she's against her roommate. She's not on Dave's side. She doesn't like it. She thinks it's bad that he's doing this.
Yes.
Okay.
But she's wrong because it's saving her money.
Is it?
Yes.
All right. That's what, it sounds like he's just cleaning out everywhere he goes, right?
Places empty.
Salt and pepper shakers, just taking it all with you. All right. 1-800-520-1067. What do you steal? Like Dave does. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. Let's take one phone call. We're talking about you steal stuff because you're cheap. Brian is on the phone from Westminster. Hi, Brian.
Well done, sir. All right, you win. Kevin, it's anarchy. We've unleashed anarchy into the world.
I'm just thinking about Dave. Every time he checks out of a hotel, he has to hire a moving van to come in and take the lamps and the radios.
Put the mattress over there.
Take the art off the wall. I mean, he just cleans that place out.
He does, yeah.
Maid comes in the next day. There's nothing left. Bare walls.
I help her out.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What do you steal to save money? Sarah writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean. Every time we go to dinner at Red Robin, we have to bring home their bougie salt and pepper shakers because they have built-in grinders.
I don't think they're yours to just take, Sarah.
And how many does she have?
You see, those are
salt and pepper shakers you need.
Those are about $7 each, so I get it. You know?
But you don't get it, though. I mean, they're meant to be used by the next customer that sits down at Sarah's table, too.
Yeah, but you get a salt and pepper shaker, a grinder, and salt and pepper. Come on.
I mean, we understand the concept. We know how theft works, Dave. If I break into your car and steal your phone, I can go, hey, it was worth it. I got a free phone out of a deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you.
All right. Let's try, we got some good ones here. Let's try Rich in Laguna Hills. How about that?
All right. Good morning.
He's on line six.
Oh, sorry. Wrong Rich. Hi, Rich.
There you go.
Hi there.
What's up, Kevin and Bean?
You steal? Do you?
Kind of. So I do AV, so audiovisual servicing. So I go to different corporate businesses, and they always have, like, those mugs with their logos on it. So I'll take a few of those since they're there. And but mainly it's catering. Since all of these corporate companies have catering, I'll walk out with, like, pizza boxes, trays full of pasta, and then I save money on eating.
He's not money loading on up eating. A plate. He's taking straight-up trays
wow.
out.
Wow.
I mean, they're good. They're free, technically.
Anything technically free because you steal them.
Anything you steal is free, technically.
Yeah. You can't really stop somebody from walking out with a full pizza box anyways. Like, what do you tell them? Hey, you're stealing a pizza. You can't really say that. So they look at me weird, but at the end of the day, I get a whole pizza. So, hey.
Wait, Kevin, so who wins? At the end of the day, he gets a whole pizza.
Right?
All right, Rich. Thank you for the call. Let's try Jennifer. She's in Los Angeles, line 7, please. Speaking of food.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi there. Thanks for holding on. What do you steal?
Oh, not me. My HR manager. Ah. She steals frozen foods from the fridge.
What? At work? Who do you turn her into?
Yeah.
I don't know, but she just goes in there and goes, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Oh, this looks good. And then she just pops it in the microwave and eats it.
That's some nonsense there.
What if HR person is doing that too and just sending out the notice like, you guys better stop it.
This is why you should spit in all your food, you guys.
I don't think
spit in all your food, yes.
That is what we're saying.
Spit in all your food because it won't hurt you, but you'll get satisfaction if somebody steals yours.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jennifer.
All right. Let's go to Emma, line 4, Los Angeles. I think this is one even Dave is going to disagree with.
Hey, Emma.
Hi. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, thief. We're doing well.
What are you taking?
Okay. So, every time, this is a family affair. The whole family's in on it. Every time we go to Vegas, we stay at the Golden Nugget, and their pool towels are amazing. But you're not allowed to take them out of the pool, so we have to, like, casually, all of us will walk out with our pool towels. And we go, the whole family, so we're always coming home with about 5 or 6 nice, big, fluffy pool towels. And this is my mother-in-law. She's the mastermind of it all. She likes the comforters. They're very soft.
Comforters?
Come on. No. Oh, how do you get a comforter out of there?
Okay, so this is for everyone listening because you guys got to start doing this.
No, you don't.
You gotta call the hotel and tell them your comforter's dirty. And then what they do is you got to say there's throw up on it. They'll give you a bag to put the old comforter in, and then they'll give you a new one. But they don't really keep track of all this, so you just take the bag, and they never come back for it, and you put your comforter in your bag wherever you want. And now you have a comforter, and you're not getting charged.
Listen to the joy in her voice!
She's so happy.
And what do you think that comforter costs the hotel? $100 probably?
Nah, they buy them in bulk. We give them more than enough money at the casino.
Oh,
and
I see.
That's how you justify it.
All right.
Okay.
Towels and comforters.
That's a family affair.
lot of work.
Emma, we will see you in hell, my dear.
All right. I can't wait. I hope you guys have a great day.
You too.
I love her.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
We've been hearing from some listeners just ahead of Allie's What's Happening Here that are confused about when the tickets go on sale for the Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th dates at the Forum.
It's Friday noon.
The K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. We've been saying Friday at
it's
noon.
It's Friday at noon.
But I've been reminded that we have a piece of tape here that may throw that into question a little bit.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Tickets on sale Friday 10 at noon. Friday 10 at noon? Why would I say that?
Nope.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
So what is it? Is
it's Friday 10 at noon.
No,
it's Friday at noon.
Just 12 noon.
It's noon on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Noon on Friday. Mm-hmm. Not 10 at noon at all.
Correct. That doesn't even exist. That's not a thing.
In Hawaii.
What about in Hawaii?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good question.
All right.
All right. 7:52. Allie's here. What's happening?
So a new chapter in Breaking Bad is in the works. Sources tell The Hollywood Reporter that Breaking Bad creator Vince Gilligan is working on a 2-hour movie, although it remains unclear if that's going to be a theatrical release or made for television. Nobody's talking about this,
okay.
But there's all these rumors floating around. It's unclear if the movie is going to be another prequel like AMC's Better Call Saul or a follow-up of some sort. Also, we don't know if any of the original stars, Bryan Cranston, Aaron Paul, are on board as well. So,
but they have to be.
They'd have to be.
I would think
Yeah, if it's especially if it's a prequel, right? Them leading up to it, getting their whole backstories.
I mean, I guess, but then you might not need them to play younger them. I don't know.
That's true.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I hope so.
I'm just saying.
Bryan Cranston's the best.
He's the best. The best.
I am the one who knocks.
See, right there. Right. And he knocks, which is so kind.
It's
he doesn't
nice.
Just barge right in.
And he probably doesn't steal, you know, lotions from hotels.
Oh, I bet he does.
Comforters?
Yeah. You could tell. He's got a streak in him, for sure. So, sure, it's 2018, but this just happened on Friday night at Rogers Place in Edmonton, Canada. It was during a Jack White show, and a woman, Allison McIver, kissed her girlfriend. That's when an usher approached her and her friend, physically inserting herself between them.
And saying, give me some of that.
Saying, this is not allowed here.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, not a great situation to be had. It wound up being obviously a very big story in Canada. And the show's organizers, Oilers Entertainment Group, have apologized profusely. Wrong call, absolutely. But Jack White just posted this on his Instagram. And it's a picture of a couple kissing at a Beatles concert. And he said, this photo is a lesbian couple sharing a kiss at a Beatles concert in 1964, while the rest of the crowd screamed for the band. This is one of my favorite photos because of how beautiful the situation is. They are hiding in plain sight. It's 2018 now, and two people expressing affection should not have to hide. The news that two women were stopped from kissing during my show in Edmonton really disappointed me. At the next show in Calgary, I dedicated the song Love Interruption to the two women and encouraged everyone in the crowd to kiss their loved ones. Let's promote love and acceptance wherever and whenever we can.
That's awesome.
Shut up. Kiss me.
I don't know. That's what we're saying.
I'm just saying. Jack White.
Yeah, that's great.
I'd smooch him.
Kiss the girl.
All right. Right. Thank you so much for all that.
Yes.
So,
kiss, kiss, bang, 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 bang.
No one's saying that yet. Oof.
I mean, it's a lot of bangs falling up that kiss. It's been a great kiss.
Well, Rodney's a goer. You know
sure
that.
Is.
I have heard that. So, Sleepless in Seattle, you guys remember that flick?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the best-known rom-coms, wouldn't you say?
Sure, sure.
Well, it is set to return to theaters next month. That's for the film's 25th anniversary. The Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks classic will be back in theaters to celebrate that quarter century. Fathom Events and Sony Pictures are bringing it back to nearly 400 theaters for just 2 days, December 2nd and the 5th at 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. And there's a brand new introduction by Meg Ryan and the producer of the film, Gary Foster, that will be played before the film, probably to say, hey, thanks. thanks for watching. It's one of those movies that whenever it's on, I have to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy it. Tom Hanks, is just, he's peak Tom Hanks in it.
He's pretty great. I do so wonder, I mean, obviously these, hey, we'll put it back in theater for a day or two, must mm-hmm. be successful because they keep doing it.
Right.
But when you've had a movie like that that's been available on TV and in so many other different formats for the last 25 years, I wonder what the incentive is for a bunch of people to get together and go out and see it on the big
screen. Hey, I thought you loved Love.
Right.
I do love Love. Uh-huh. Well, step it up. Sleepless in Seattle is a romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you gain by seeing it on a big screen again when you can see it at home. You know what I mean?
I mean, do I want to watch peak Tom Hanks on my little television or huge in front of me? Right?
Okay.
And all those all right. sweeping scenes in Seattle that are beautiful. And then when they go to New York, all those sweeping scenes. Right?
Sounds like you would enjoy it in a theater.
I really would. For just 2 days. December 2nd and 5th at 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. Well, this interview with British Vogue that Zayn Malik did from One Direction kind of leads me to believe that he will not be joining One Direction if they decide to reunite.
Okay.
Because, as you know, One Direction fans, he was the first to officially leave the band. And he basically said, even though he spent 5 years in the band, he never felt like he made any friends.
Oh,
that's sad.
I feel like that's awful. So he said he never really made friends with Luis, Niall, Harry, Liam, and
Jimbo.
Jimbo uh-huh. and Franklin. He said he's always been a little bit like that, though. Always a bit of an island. I don't like to confer with too many people. Okay, well, that's on you then. He then was asked if he ever sees the rest of the guys, and this is where I just thought, oh, it's over. He said, nah, I ain't spoke to any of them for a long time, to be honest with you. It's just the way it is. There's things that happen, things that were said after I left, snide things. Small things I never would have expected.
No!
Snide things! Then he didn't go into detail. I want to know what the snide things were.
You know, they were like little meaningless things.
Right? Look at him. He thinks he's all cool dating Gigi Hadid. Something like that.
Sure.
But yeah, so sad news for you One Directioners. I don't think they're all getting back together.
Do they all need to be together to be the One Directioners like we were talking about Spice Girls?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Do they need that? Or could they go on as One Direction without him?
They could, but I think you want Zayn. I think if you're a One Direction fan, you want Zayn.
I mean, as long as you really have Harry, who do you need?
Right?
That's what I say. No Harry, no peace. You've seen my t-shirt.
Sure.
Yeah.
Many times. Your dress.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, with his face everywhere.
Yep.
Oh. Some birthdays for you. Adam Devine, David Guetta, and Lord.
You'll never be chicken in my blood. It's on a drop some babes and dust. You said a different kind of buzz to me and be your ruler.
That's tough when we heard that with that Lord song without the auto-tune for the first time.
It's not true.
What is that? It sounded like Miss Piggy on a bender. That was amazing. Play it again.
I can't play it again.
What? What kind of system you have up there? Down there, wherever you are.
One that requires okay. a few seconds.
You in another room?
Never be real.
That is Miss Piggy.
Chicken in my blood. It's on a drop some vapes and dust. You said a different kind of buzz to me and be your ruler.
Actually sounds great.
It's amazing. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
All right, you guys, let's invest. Let's make some money. It's time for Omar's Jank Tank.
Welcome to the Jank Tank, where these janky investors will either help you fund your janky project or tell you to f*** right off. DJ Omar Khan, a handsome and debonair real estate mogul, and also CEO at DJ Omar Khan Productions, where he produces high-end events.
What?
And he's a really good DJ, so you should book him for your next event at DJOmarKhan.com.
Kevin Ryder, the self-proclaimed king of Las Vegas, where he plays poker and does pretty well, but then hits the crazy horse and donates all his winnings.
So who should you turn to fund your LUN?
Bean Baxter, the wolf on Wall Street, who's invested a bunch of money in Twitter stock, but has actually lost money on the deal.
I am not a winner.
And Allie McKay, who doesn't know how to balance a checkbook.
Suck it.
Those are your janks. Now let's get into the Jank Tank.
That's right. I'm a huge fan of the Shark Tank, and these are all real products, and they're all on Kickstarter. And the first one I want to bring to you is the Crunch Cup, the world's greatest portable cereal cup. No spoon, no bowl, no mess, no BS. We don't always have time for breakfast when we get up in the morning, even cereal. You might be one of those people that skips breakfast entirely. Those days are over. We couldn't believe there wasn't a viable option to eat your cereal on the go, so we made one. This is the Crunch Cup. Let's hear a little of the Kickstarter.
This whole spoon and bowl thing just doesn't work out. Plus, it makes your cereal soggy. The Crunch Cup keeps your cereal crunchy, separating the milk and the cereal until it hits your mouth. Just add milk to the outer cup, add your cereal in the inner cup, twist on the lid, add the cap, and you're ready to crunch.
Are you guys in?
Are you guys drinking your cereal?
So, yeah, exactly. It's in like in a little tumbler, and it has an inner layer and an outer layer. The inner layer has the cereal. The outer layer has the milk. When you tilt it and you drink it, it has the proper cereal to milk ratio in every drink. Yeah.
I feel like you could choke. Like, if you're, like, drinking Cheerios, mm-hmm. maybe you get too mm-hmm. many Cheerios in your throat.
I've spilled cereal in my car 100 mm-hmm. times, and for that reason, yeah. I am in.
You're in? Yeah, there you go, okay?
Wait, Kevin, do you say that because you tried to drive while eating a bowl of cereal?
Don't be ridiculous. Who would do that?
You just admitted to it.
Sounds like you just said that.
It's kind of messy. It can be messy.
I feel like if they had a spoon that was attached to the little thermos that I could take off.
That defeats the purpose, though.
Well, you just drink it. You can just one-hand it.
Who drinks cereal?
You can now.
Exactly, with the Crunch Cup, lady.
What's wrong with you?
Because you're going to get it in your mouth, and then you have to, like, chew it from there. It's not like you're drinking it.
I'm turned on right now.
I know. It's really hard to drink something and then chew.
Well, I feel like if you have something going down your throat, you want it to go...
This segment can never end.
All right. I'm a no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dean?
I agree with the lady. What? I am also a hard no on drinking my cereal. It seems unwieldy and messy to have it just come out.
It's the opposite of unwieldy. No,
no, no. It's the perfect thing because, for Bean.
No, because if you are using a spoon, you control the tiny amount of cereal that you're putting in your mouth, one mouthful at a time, as opposed to pouring it in and you know, filling up your whole mouth with it.
That's a gagger.
Yeah, that's a total gagger. Yeah.
All right,
I'm dead out on that.
Okay, let's move on to the Svanky.
What?
The Svanky. This is the heated ice cream scoop. Let's hear from the Kickstarter campaign.
Let's face it. Getting the ice cream out of the tub is a struggle. Introducing Svanky, the world's first electrically heated ice cream scoop with just a press of a button. Svanky helps you serve the perfect round scoop of ice cream right into your bowl. It goes through the hardest of ice creams, like a hot knife through butter, so you can serve the roundest scoop of ice cream.
Now, we've all been there.
Oh, yeah.
Where you take out the ice cream from mm-hmm. the freezer, sure. and it's way too hard, and you either have to get your little scooper and put it in hot water,
right.
or let it chill out for, like, 5 minutes.
No, you put it in the microwave mm-hmm. for 17 seconds. Boom! It's ready.
Oh. 17.
That's what I do, too, by the way.
Was that too much information?
I had no
idea. That's what I do, too. Yep, put it in the microwave.
You just put it in the microwave and it softens it right up.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I had no idea.
What?
You had
that's
no
what
idea.
You do.
What?
Really?
Okay. What kind of a monster
However,
are you?
However, with the Svanky,
yes.
you
eliminate
that. Why do you call it Svanky?
I don't
when
like
she
the
says
name Svanky.
She says Svanky.
Because it's labeled, it's Svanky on here.
Oh, it is a SV.
Yeah, okay. It's Svanky. But this eliminates that extra step.
Right.
I mean,
it adds a different extra step, Omar.
No, because you're still using a scoop.
that you have to plug in.
No, it's a charger. You just leave it charging. It has a 30-minute charging.
I will say this. It does sound like it takes less time than taking the ice cream out of the freezer and then putting it in the microwave and then setting it and then pulling it back out.
And
for that reason, I am in.
Nice.
With this, you're getting the perfect scoop. If you're taking it out of the microwave, you're going to get some like wet ickies in there.
If you're an amateur, sure.
I'm just saying, I think this is a great idea. I think I'm in on the Spanky. I'm lactose intolerant, so that is a huge deal.
Sweet.
Bean? All right, I have one follow-up question, if I could, Omar, and that is, how effective is running your ice cream scooper under the hot water? Does it work about the same as this will work if I buy this product?
No, it takes because you're not, when you want ice cream, you want it right away, so you have to, you know, kind of like run the water, let it heat up, and it's never
it takes
a good,
while.
Yeah, it's never
it's
a good
wet
temperature.
Ice cream.
Yeah, it's right. Not good.
Okay.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I think this is a good idea. Oh, I think I am also in.
Nice. All right.
I think I don't feel like I need it. I don't need another utility.
But once you have it, you'll go,
in my fridge. Mm-hmm. I think I would use it if I had it for sure.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, good one.
Good job, Svanky. All right. The next one is the inflatable travel jumpsuit. It has over 15 features, including a fully inflatable hood and neck pillow for restful sleep on those uncomfortable plane seats. Other features include pull-down snooze cap, rear zipper for easy bathroom breaks, detachable chest pockets for important travel documents. Let's hear some of the audio.
With the inflatable neck pillow being integrated inside the actual jumpsuit, it's always there and you don't have to worry about bringing your own pillow. You can actually inflate the entire hood itself. It creates a 360-degree pillow around your entire head. If two zippers was enough, we've added a third one to allow you to close the hood while still keeping an opening for the mouth. The rear exit solution. Like all of our previous models, the travel jumpsuit has the double zipper on the front, which makes it easy for the boys. But for the girls and for number two, it's been more complicated. After 10 years, the solution is finally here. Rex, rear exit solution. A discreet zipper opening on the back of the jumpsuit, which solves all of your problems.
So I don't do much traveling, but I know you guys travel a lot. Do you guys think this jumpsuit is a good idea?
I do need a rear exit solution. I know that.
My thing is that it's really difficult to take as much stuff as you have to travel. This is another thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But with this, you're eliminating a pillow. You're eliminating all the things that you would put in a bag because you're putting it in your little pockets. I don't know. I feel like this is smart. And the picture, it's kind of cute. It's like not a bad looking jumpsuit.
Yeah, I think this is a girl. I think this is a girl product. I do.
I was just going to say I was in before you said that.
Well,
but it doesn't matter if it's going to make money. That's all that matters. If you guys think it's a good product.
Oh, good point.
I can't see wearing a jumpsuit with a hoodie every time I fly. I just can't.
But what if it was super soft? Like you were laying on pillows.
And it has the rear exit solution.
Right.
It does have the rear exit solution. I'm afraid I could be wrong on this, but it's not something I need or want. I think for that reason, I am out.
Okay.
Do you know how much we'd be selling these for?
No.
Okay. That was a dumb question. I'm sorry I asked it. I think I'm in.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in.
You'd use it?
Somebody just said that the headrest was the worst part of the seat in an airplane.
The dirtiest.
The dirtiest part.
This wraps your entire head.
Boom. For that reason, I'm in.
Awesome. Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for janking it up.
It's Kevin and Bean.
KU Rock. KROQ.
Let me tell you what passes for breezy chit-chat with Phil Kogan. He steps in, and within the first 30 seconds, he's already got humanity extinct on the planet.
That's true.
And he already has the Earth rejuvenating without us.
I was about to pay you guys a compliment and say how proud I am that you've had an upgrade, that you're in these
with the new studio. Yeah,
you're in these new digs, because this is the first time. And you're going to start in on me like that straight away?
I'm saying.
What we do, Phil.
Okay. That's why I keep coming back, because I just love the abuse. Oh, how I've missed being abused by you guys. Oh.
It's not Thank abuse. You. It's just that you have such a unique perspective on the world because you've seen all of it, because you traveled everywhere and you know what's going on. But, I mean, you basically walked in here and said, climate change, guys, we're all dead. I mean, that's how we started.
Wow, way to just encap. I mean, this is why we have courts and why we have to have you're not a good witness to what just happened.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. All right, fair enough.
What are you drinking?
Okay.
Well, we don't know what we drink.
All right. Well, all right.
See,
I was curious why. Oh, you were asking me what I drink. I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
You're the only one drinking.
Yeah, that's true. Just straight vodka. Hey, Phil, what are your thoughts on California going to the polls yesterday and voting for year-round daylight saving time? Now, I know there's a lot of steps that have to happen, including federal approval before that happens, but were you for that or against that?
You know, I don't really care, to be honest with you. Because, no, the reason I say that, and I don't mean to be flippant, it's just that I am changing time zones so many times in my life. I just get told whatever the time is, and I just deal with it.
Yeah. Do you have jet lag ever now?
That's all you do is travel around. I have this perpetual thing where I'm tired, but I'm not sure whether it's I'm tired because I don't get enough sleep, or I'm tired because I've changed time zones. I'm not really sure, but I do believe in democracy, and I do believe that. which is a good thing.
Okay.
No, but my thing is, if the majority wants to make a change, I'm good with it. Mm-hmm. I'm totally good with that. So I will just adapt. I'm not going to fight that. It doesn't really affect me. But I mean, you know the history of why, you know, we had the whole shift in the first place, daylight saving. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what do you guys think?
Well, Bean only brings it up because it's one of his pet peeves, which is that people say daylight savings with an S.
Yeah,
that's why I bring it up.
And it's crazy.
It's stupid.
Say he got a total boner when Phil said it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, Phil said it right.
Yeah. Phil's a smart man.
Well, no, yeah. I bring it up because it's stupid that we still have it in 2018. We're not farmers anymore. Okay.
No, I hear you.
I mean, I feel like it's a lesser issue. However,
I think other things could have been about it.
I totally agree. I'm kind of excited about what other things we might be able to get to happen in the world. And I got to say, it was a pretty powerful day yesterday all around, no matter what side you were on, just to see democracy at work. You know, I come from New Zealand, and the coverage and being able to follow what was going on. And I just feel that this could have been the most impactful election ever, and to see people speak like that, I mean, just thank goodness we have an electoral system in place where we have a voice, regardless of what side you're on.
Even though fewer than half of us showed up at the polls yesterday, we do have a freedom
to vote. Well, a lot more in terms of young people than we've seen before. I mean, my daughter's 22, and I just feel that they're invested in ways that maybe when we were 22, we weren't. And they understand, they're voting for things that we didn't care about because we were drinking vodka like you used to.
I mean, honestly, that's true.
Yeah.
Phil, you're a U.S. citizen now?
I am not. My daughter is. No, it's to just do it. Actually, it's to do with the taxes. I mean, they changed the rules on the taxes,
is that right?
Yeah. So even if I went back to live in New Zealand, I'd be responsible for paying taxes forever. And by the way, I have
America?
Yeah.
What?
I pay my taxes. I'm just want you to know before you kick me out. I am a legal alien, and I pay my taxes, and I have no problem paying my taxes. It's just that if I ever want to go back to New Zealand to live, I just have to pay taxes in New Zealand. I have to pay taxes here if I'm not living here.
Ah. No wonder you have so many jobs.
Yes.
No wonder you never turned out work.
No, I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I pay my taxes willingly. I believe everybody deserves an education, and I believe everybody should have health care.
Are you running for president?
Apparently,
or what's happening right now?
How did we get to this? You're the one that started with all of this. Why am I here?
You're here for
that's right. to get abused by you guys. Right. That's right, yeah.
No abuse, nothing but love.
This show, Explorer, on National Geographic, I feel like I've watched many different times throughout the years.
You know it, right?
I do.
Yeah. You know it. I say that I'm hosting Explorer now, and that's the first thing that comes out of people's mouth. They just immediately go into the theme. So there you go. Wow. Wow, the producing on the show is good.
No, he's that playing was, that. He's was, playing that live. Mm-hmm. He's got a full he's really orchestra right there? In his home.
Okay, yeah. I love that. So this documentary series, Explorer, goes back to the mid-80s, 85, longest running documentary series in television history. Won something like 50 Emmys, the series.
Wow.
And when I first came to America, it was the show that I really gravitated towards.
Oh, is that right?
And when I was 24, I pitched a story for National Geographic Explorer. And one reason or another, I didn't end up making it for National Geographic. I made it for somebody else. But 25 years later, when I was made the host of the show, the first call sheet that I got was the exact story that I had pitched to them 25 years before.
Sir.
Yeah,
that's
to go
amazing.
To the Florida Everglades and track the Florida Panther.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
And I saw it on the sheet and I was like, man, my 25-year-old self, if I'd seen that, I wouldn't have believed it. But
did they
God
do that as kind of like a tip of the a cap to you, or did they
no,
have no idea?
Nobody did it, so he'd shut up. It was, yeah.
Stop emailing us, dude.
Wow. You've been pitching this thing for 25 years.
We'll do it. We'll do it.
Okay. Just shut the guy up.
Why did you care so much about tracking that particular animal in that particular part of the world?
Well, it was a couple things. I read Al Gore's book, Earth in the Balance, which, if you haven't read, is a great book. I mean, he's quite a visionary in terms of the way he saw what was going to happen to the Earth, Earth in the Balance. And then I read this best-selling book. It was called The Cry of the Panther, and it was about a Vietnam vet who came back to America. He just felt completely lost, and you know, people were spitting on him for having fought in Vietnam and all of that. He felt lost, and so he disappeared into the Everglades, used the survival skills that he learned in the Army to survive down there. And while he was there, he started tracking. He just needed some purpose. He started tracking the elusive Florida Panther, and so he ended up later on writing this book called The Cry of the Panther, because there were a lot of parallels between him not being wanted and the Florida Panther not being wanted. And it was such a powerful book that my wife and producing partner and I, we decided, you know, we really need to go meet this man and share his story. You know, he really struggled with some demons, a very powerful book. And so I wanted to go share that story, and I just thought it would be a great story for Explorer.
25 years later, is he still down there?
You know, I can't find him. I found an article from 2000. Yeah, very elusive, just like the Florida Panther.
Yes.
I think there's only 50 panthers left in the Everglades.
Aww.
And every day, huge areas of the Everglades are being developed. So this area is getting smaller and smaller, and that panther, it's beautiful.
I have bad news for you. That panther ate your friend.
Oh, boy.
Wow,
Bean.
You had to go twist.
Wow, Bean, for God's
you
sake.
You need to stop drinking. Seriously.
Right?
How do
Phil
you guys
Kogan
work with this guy?
Amen.
National
that went
Geographic.
So fast!
National Geographic Channel's Explorer returns Monday, November 12th, 13 episodes. We have many more questions for our guest, the great Phil Kogan, who pays his taxes when we return right after
willingly.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
10-time primetime Emmy winner Phil Kogan in studio right now with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know him and love him from The Amazing Race. For how many seasons now, Phil?
Well, we're going to go shoot 32 shortly.
32.
Oh, my God.
And because that doesn't keep him away from home enough, he has a new series on the National Geographic Channel. He's the latest host of a long-running series on Nat Geo called Explorer.
You said ho, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm like, hold on a second. Oh, I'm in host. Hold on a second. I know it's been 32 seasons, but I haven't pimped myself out yet.
Here's a clip from the episode that I watched, the advanced episode that I watched of a series, one of the stories that you do on the series called Hellmouth. And this is everything you need to know about Phil and the decisions that he makes.
On this episode of Explorer, Nicaragua has 19 active volcanoes, including Masaya, a ticking time bomb that could go off at any moment. That's where I'm headed.
What are you doing?
That's a good setup, isn't it? I am slightly crazy. Forgot to take my medication this morning, and I'm going into the mouth of hell, Masaya Volcano in Nicaragua.
Everybody else is with you the whole way, like, so we're not going there. Yeah. And then you're like, that's where I'm headed.
And I want you to come with me.
Now, is the air... I saw the episode,
yes.
And I don't know how much we can or can't give away.
Sounding skeptical.
No, I'm not skeptical
okay.
at all. I mean, I saw you do it with my own eyes, but I mean, yes. you're breathing, what was it?
Sulfur dioxide.
Sulfur dioxide.
Well, we have gas masks on, but I will tell you that...
You did. Your guy didn't.
Photographer didn't.
Well, there was only one mask. They're very expensive, you know. But what's interesting is when we got out of, after we finished shooting that story, all our equipment was fried.
Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the electronics... Oh. It's so corrosive, the sulfuric acid. And I'm thinking, okay, so it just fried all our equipment. What did it do to our lungs?
Right,
wow.
What happened to us?
Yeah.
How great
what
does your skin look, though?
Oh, so good.
Beautiful exfoliation.
It's so much better than a chemical peel.
That's what I'm
what
saying.
Was the point? Help me understand what the point. I know that it exists and it's cool that we've seen it, but what's the point of actually going down into the volcano?
Everything
on
is loaded, right? You notice the questions are kind of loaded.
Sure, all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Masaya volcano, which is in Nicaragua, they've got 19 active volcanoes. There's millions of people living around these volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
So there are volcanologists who have to go and set these, or they go and set these sensors around the volcanoes. So if they see a change in gas levels,
an early warning system.
Yeah. Early warning system, yeah. So not only are the sensors around the crater, but they're down inside the volcano, 600 feet.
Whoa.
So imagine a 60-story building and dropping down. And that's where I went on a very long cable. And you end up standing on the crater floor. And then there's this lava lake, one of the few places in the world where you can see lava lake boiling away. And they've got sensors down there as well. Well, somebody has to go down there and change the batteries.
That's insane.
That is insane.
They got me drunk and convinced me that it was gonna be me. No, they have to go down there and they have to.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
Is there anything in what's going to be your 32nd year on Amazing Race and then doing this show? Is there anything that you just said? Yeah. No, I'm not doing it. No. Out.
I don't feel like those words are in his vocabulary.
No. I'm willing to give anything a go. I mean,
really?
the things that I steer away from when I'm traveling. Is I worry about getting, some kind of food sickness or some,
sure.
stomach bug. So I am careful about what I eat because if that's the worst, right? I mean, if you get food poisoning or something and you're trying to work.
Yeah, that's the worst.
But I do like to try new and different things. I mean, I've eaten ants and drunk cobra blood and I've had tarantulas and I've eaten all kinds of weird things. Right? Who hasn't? Exactly. But generally speaking, that's the one thing. When I'm working, I love trying new and different things.
Interesting.
So this season on Explorer, for instance, I go to Maine, and there's this young woman, Lisa. She's a wildlife biologist, and she goes into bear dens to get the little cubs.
Wow!
To pull the baby cubs out. So she's amazing. This woman, you got to see this episode, and. And there's this tiny little hole, right? And they tranquilize the mama. And then you have to crawl past the mama to go back into the bear den and grab the cubs and then wiggle your way backwards.
That
out.
Is not so happening
just,
with me.
She just dives in there. And
why
then she
is
goes,
she stealing baby bears?
To tag them, to measure them, to make sure that they're healthy. And so then she says to me, all right, Phil. It's your turn. And I got to tell you, man, it really made me think about it. And as I'm going down and I'm way inside this bear den and I'm the entrance is wrapped. I'm so tight and I know where the mama's big gnarly teeth are in relation to the rest of my body.
Sure.
You can understand what I'm saying. And I'm like, mama, do not wake up right now.
Oh, man.
And the babies are going, crying.
That's my dream. I'm obsessed with
bears. What, to go in a bear den?
I'm obsessed with
bears.
You
want to go in a bear den?
The way I want to die is hugging a bear. Because then I will have at least hugged a bear.
I think someone who can set that. Yeah.
And in Maine.
He's talking about living.
This is my dream.
Hold on. So you go in the bear den, you get attacked by the bear, and you die with the bear.
Oh, my God.
Or you try to hug the bear.
I'd I'd get a little bit of a hug in before the bear's like,
eh. You also need some help.
Yeah, that's a strange way to want to die. Would you do that?
Absolutely. Oh, 100%.
You would crawl past the mama bear?
Yes.
Really?
Did you ask how long does this tranquilizer work?
Yes, exactly.
Because I would have been frightened.
That was the first question. Yeah. I'm like, and I go, well, so let me ask you a question. Has Mama Bear ever woken up, like, in the middle of one of these? And they go, well, not so much, but it could happen.
Okay. Are they just toying with you, or they mean it?
Yeah, well, they were messing with me, but you never really know.
Right.
Yeah, it could be a bad batch of the tranquilizer.
It could
you
be a bad
know.
Batch where they didn't get it. The tranquilizer
Phil,
all the way
that had, God forbid if that had happened and that
you,
was
would
your
you
last
have remembered
day.
Me in a fond way?
Oh, I'd be so jealous.
Would you have said, oh, Phil, he was such a lovely guest.
We would have said he lit up a room.
We loved having him to come and share his stories with us. But he got taken out by a bear in a bear den. That's my dream.
My question
he stole
is,
my death.
I mean, that is the perfect way for you to go.
Yeah,
it really is. Would you have wanted the episode to air is the question I'm trying to ask.
Oh, sure. You got to document everything, haven't you?
Yeah, why the hell not, right?
Yeah.
The most remarkable thing
does
about
the
your
bear
job...
take over the Amazing Race, then?
Oh, sure.
The most remarkable thing about your job on Explorer, I imagine, Phil, is the people that you get to meet who do this work because it's a passion of theirs. I mean, like your guy who's measuring the temperature of the volcano.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very important work that somebody has to do. Thank God there are people out there willing to do it.
Well,
Same thing with the bear thing.
You bring up a really interesting point, which is, you know, every day we're bombarded about what's wrong with the world, what, you know, we're facing, you know, destruction of the earth, and we're messing it all up. But there are these incredible people, these crusaders out there, and one of the great things about explorers, it's like Amazing Race, where we can focus on something that's right with the world. And I love meeting these people, and my job as the host is to share these really cool stories, like make them a star. My job is to facilitate pushing them out there, pushing them into the foreground, and say, hey, wow, look at this guy Raphael off the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula who's helping to save whale sharks. And you get in the water with a whale shark, it's 30-40 feet long, the mouth is 5 feet wide. They have a throat that's the size of a golf ball, so if they swallow a plastic bag in the water or whatever, it can kill this massive creature. So this guy is out there tagging, literally jumping on the back of whale sharks to tag them so he can use GPS to track these whale sharks
that we don't know
that much about. And you meet these people and you realize there is hope out there, because look at this guy. I mean, he's prepared to do anything. Every year for about 2 weeks, these whale sharks come to the surface, and he uses that opportunity to try to tag them. And in a season, he may only tag two. It's so hard to get up next to them. He's not very good.
I'm just trying to get to the bottom.
Raphael, he did not mean that. He does not understand. He does not understand. Okay,
he's crap streaming
on whatever
right
good
now.
Things you bring to us. That's what we're trying to do.
I just need you guys there to come down and show everybody how to do their job.
I would go there in a second. That would be awesome.
You'd jump on top of that whale shark and ride it like
I'd like to think I would, but I'm sure when I was there, I would go, ooh.
You have such a fascinating life, my friend. I wouldn't want your life, but I'm happy you're out there living it.
What's wrong with my life? What do you mean you don't want my life?
I think I don't want Phil's life.
Yeah.
I don't want Phil's life. I want to watch it from the comfort of my own home and on my big screen TV. That's what I want.
He's not a get outdoors kind of guy.
Really? No.
But you are doing great work, and it's a delight to have you. And we're out of time. We got to say goodbye. But
I've talked too much, and now I've used up all your time?
Nat Geo Channel, November 12th is the return of Explorer. And just give me the 20-second plug on your podcast that you started since the last time we were in, too, because I want to make sure people know that's available.
Okay, it's called Bucket with an I. So Bucket with an I, like Bucket as in... And the byline is Ticket Before You Kick It. And I talk to people who are mavericks and eccentrics. I've spoken to astronauts. I just spoke to Roger Steffens, who wrote this great book on Bob Marley that just came out today. So I just love meeting people who are mavericks and who are changing the way we see the world. People who are doing different things.
PhilCogan.com for all the information on the podcast and the shows and so much more. We love you, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. And congratulations on the upgrade.
Thanks.
We must be doing something right.
I'm not sure.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Well, that sounds to me like it's time for one more look at what's happening with LMK.
So remember earlier when I told you that Vince Gilligan was possibly writing a Breaking Bad movie?
Yes.
We know a little more now. It tracks the escape of a kidnapped man and his quest for freedom. That kidnapped man refers to Jesse Pinkman.
Oh,
what?
Okay.
But then you think, okay, is this real? And would anyone like, you know, Bryan Cranston be involved with it? Well, yeah, because he was just on the Dan Patrick Show, and he confirmed it. He said, yep, there appears to be a movie version of Breaking Bad, and he would absolutely appear in the movie if Vince asked me to do it.
Awesome.
All right.
I do feel like those three formed a very tight bond over the years of making that series. They seem to have left all smiles and like they can't wait to work together again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it'll happen.
I think so, too.
That's cool.
This delights...
You never watched that show, did you, Alan?
Oh, no.
Breaking Bad.
delights me, yeah.
I mean, talk about peak TV.
Yeah.
One of the greatest series ever.
Absolutely.
What weren't you interested in when you started hearing how great it was, especially at an actor the caliber of Bryan Cranston?
I don't think I had AMC? HBO? Showtime. AMC?
I think it's AMC, and I think you've had it your whole life.
Oh, I think there was an outage.
The whole time that series was on?
Yeah, in my neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah, there is no excuse for me not watching
There's
that
no
show.
Excuse. Okay,
I get it.
Good.
I get it.
Because we all talk about how, look, you can't see everything. There are great series that Look, I've never seen Game of Thrones. People talk about it like it's the greatest show ever. You can't watch everything. I get it. But I'm just surprised because I think you would have really enjoyed Breaking Bad.
And just to kind of put a cherry on top of my stupidity,
when I was at KTLA, we had Aaron Paul in to talk about this brand new show he was doing called Breaking Bad. He couldn't have been lovelier,
right?
Oh, he's
kinder,
lovely, yes.
More warm and charming. And I was like, I got to watch this show. This guy's wonderful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I also did a live shot at Bryan Cranston's house about like xeriscaping. Like they have all that landscaping that involves like very little water.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't have been funnier. More wonderful.
So you went home that day.
No, all of that added up to why are you not watching the show? It looks amazing.
So then you...
Here's the thing. I think I'm one of those like TV hipsters, like too many people talking about it. I'm like, I'm out.
Oh, it can't be good.
No, that's probably right.
No, that's
well, if you
true.
Ever break both your legs and you're at home, okay. It is on Netflix. So you certainly could if you wanted to.
What have you ordered? What's happening?
Just I know a guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that was very specific.
If it happens,
if your left leg gets broken, and then you're right.
Right?
If it happens on the 14th, then
I'm saying
that'd be a good time to start watching the Breaking Bad.
This got weird. Okay, this is now my favorite story, and I can't wait to tell you about it. I'm just going to read a lot of this because it's very detailed, and I want you to grasp it. It says, all Fox wants for Christmas are 12 more days of Deadpool. And that's one of the interpretations of the studio's plan to revamp, rename, and re-release the year's biggest R-rated hit, Deadpool 2, as a PG-13 film called Once Upon a Deadpool. Here's the thing. It's going to have a limited engagement, begins December 12th, concludes on Christmas Eve. So they're trying to get it when the younger kids are on school break, that type of thing.
Sure.
The majority of the footage has been edited to meet PG-13 thresholds of violence and language. But there's also new footage in the form of a framing sequence that was conceived by Ryan Reynolds, Rhett Reese, and Paul Wernick. They had a super small crew. And they decided to do a single day of guerrilla-style filmmaking that didn't make the movie.
Interesting.
As if that's not enough. There's a charity component, too. For every ticket sold, $1 will go to the F Cancer campaign, which will be temporarily renamed Fudge Cancer as a PG-13 thing. Here's where I just said, okay, this just blew my mind. This is what Ryan Reynolds said. Fox has been asking for a PG-13 basically since the start of 2006. I've said no since 2006. Now this one time I said yes, but on two conditions. First, a portion of the proceeds has to go to charity. Second, I want to kidnap Fred Savage. Wait, what?
What?
So here's the thing. Fred Savage co-stars in the framing sequence, which basically hijacks the whole bedtime story setup of The Princess Bride. All of this is phenomenal.
You lost me.
I'm swimming somewhere in the ocean and
I'm
not sure.
You know The Princess Bride?
Yeah.
And he reads the story to Fred Savage before he goes to sleep.
Yes.
And that's The Princess Bride.
Right.
Okay.
Basically, Ryan Reynolds is going to do this with Fred Savage. And that's going to be the guerrilla style part of the movie that they filmed.
I'm in.
That's what I'm saying.
I was in with Deadpool. We said Deadpool.
I know. This all sounds so amazing. So, again, those dates, December 12th, concluding on Christmas Eve. It is Once Upon a Deadpool, and it's rated PG-13. For every ticket sold, $1 going to Fudge Cancer.
Now, I know you're in and whatnot, Kevin, but isn't one of the things you and millions of others adored about Deadpool is that it was an R-rated comedy?
Yeah, of course. But
it was so wrong and so funny.
Yeah, but there was a lot of stuff in there that didn't need to be R-rated that was also really funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really well done.
I can't wait for this. Everything about this is perfect. And so Ryan Reynolds and so Paul
so
and Red. Yes. Oh. I can't wait, you guys. I just can't wait. So Shrek and Puss in Boots are getting rebooted by the man behind Despicable Me, The Minions. He kind of knows what he's doing. Chris Meledandri. Might be saying it wrong, but
no,
it doesn't matter. Universal Pictures asked him to find some fresh storylines, introduce the lovable ogre and that sword-wielding feline to a new generation of moviegoers. But one thing that he has made clear is he wants that nostalgia feeling of having those same voices. So, Mike Myers,
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy and Antonio Banderas. So we will see. I mean, they have to come back.
That sounds awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm all in. All in. Everything is good news today. Billboard announces Ariana Grande as 2018 Woman of the Year. That's cool.
All right.
She's going to receive the award during Billboard's 13th annual Women in Music event, December 6th in New York City. Some previous recipients, Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, Madonna, Selena Gomez. So she's in pretty good company, right?
Sure.
Excellent. All right.
Everything's so positive. I'm just waiting for Bean to speak.
I just haven't seen any Piggy Smalls photos in a while. I was just wondering how he's doing because...
Piggy Smalls?
Is that her pig's name?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't hear you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of people, they buy a pet and they're all infatuated with it at the beginning.
Right.
And then they get busy and all of a sudden they don't care about it anymore.
Oh, I smell bacon!
Nope, that's not what I'm saying.
Heaven!
Well, I'm just saying, I don't sing.
I hope that Piggy Smalls has somebody to look after him when she's off.
Oh, I smell bacon!
Off in New York accepting her award. That's
Kevin
all.
Kevin said, that's not me. I don't sing.
Like, pretty solid defense.
I thought it was.
Oh, I smell bacon.
That's not me. I don't sing.
That's a hit right there.
Ooh, you are right, Bean. A lot of people get little trendy pets that then go by the wayside.
So.
It's bad. Mm-hmm. It's a bad situation all around.
I have a friend who, I probably shouldn't bring this up, but I have a friend who got a pig last year, loved the pig, adored the pig, had a baby.
Oh, I smell bacon!
Had a baby, and gave away the pig.
Oh, I thought it was going to take a whole other turn.
Yeah, me too.
No, gave away the pig.
Best case scenario right there.
Yeah, at that point,
Too much work. Too much work to have a pig and a baby. Give away the pig. So now that pig has been ripped out of his home.
Yeah, that's some BS.
It is some BS. It's a commitment when you get an animal. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I smell bacon!
Babies ruin everything, right?
I don't think they're the worst.
Bodies.
That's not what anyone's saying.
These. I mean, everything.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Yeah.
That guy's right.
Call now.
This is not something we're going to like. Nothing we're going to condone. It's not something we want to promote. This is not professionalism.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Adam Devine, David Guetta, and Lorde.
And we'll never be royals. And we'll never be royals.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of help with us. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. on K-Rock tomorrow morning. An all-new Kevin and Bean show. We got People Are Dumb. We're going to talk week 11 of the NFL season with RJ Bell. We've got Dr. Drew on the show tomorrow and more tickets for you to see the advanced screening of Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald tomorrow.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.